That new Air Force One is a $1 billion plane that Donald Trump saved. I think he saved $1 billion with Boeing. He cut the price of the plane, his own plane. He cut the price, making his own plane less luxurious and less of a gold-plated toilet seat, making it a real, you know, cost-effective conveyance for our president. Anyway, I don't think he's there yet. He's probably in the air. So here's the point. Get to the point, Kelso. He just tweeted 10 minutes ago. So he was tweeting from Air Force One, probably somewhere over, I don't have my globe handy here, somewhere over Thailand or something, somewhere in that vicinity. And he says, Jeff Van Drew is a courageous leader that left the do-nothing Democrats to better serve the great people of New Jersey. Happy birthday. He just wishes him a birthday greeting to Jeff Van Drew. He is the courageous congressman who, at the same time that the traitor Mitt Romney voted against the president in the impeachment hoax, Jeff Van Drew, bless his heart, he not only voted with the president, he voted to support the president. He got the hell out of the demon rat party and changed his registration to Republican right there in the southernmost congressional district of New Jersey, there at Cape May. And you'll recall the huge rally that the president had there. What was the name of that area of Cape May? Something like Hopeville, or I've forgotten the name. But anyway, huge rally staged specifically to support Jeff Van Drew. Let's see other tweets. These are all from the air. He tweeted all these things from the air. He said, somebody please tell incompetent, and by the way, thanks for my high poll numbers, and corrupt politician Adam Shifty Schiff to stop leaking classified information, or even worse, made up information to the fake news media. Someday he will be caught, and that will be a very unpleasant experience. For pencil neck ship. I'm loving it. Now here's another one. The president, now look at these. I'm sure you figured this play out. The New York Times, the Washington Post, all of the talking heads, all of these creeps like Joe Scarborough and Chris Cuomo on corrupt TV, all of them are saying Russia is trying to help Trump get reelected. Are you kidding? And at the same time, they're saying Russia is trying to get Bernie Sanders nominated. What? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's you remember Timothy Leary? Remember that song? Timothy Leary's dead. Whoa. Forget how the melody didn't have much of a melody. I actually met Tim Leary at one of his LSD speaking sessions at UCLA. What he did, he'd come out on stage. This is the guru of LSD, former Harvard professor. He would stand behind the curtain there. What was the name of it? Was it Ackerman Union? Was the name of the student union at UCLA. Poor me, you know, I'm just a kid. I'm just an undergraduate, you know, don't know my head from a hole in the ground. So I'm sitting there in the audience and the curtain rustles. And the reason I'm going to talk about LSD for a moment is because that's the way all of these demon rat commentators are acting. They're all acting as if they're high on LSD because they remind me of Timothy Leary the day I saw him at Ackerman Union. So the curtain rustled a little bit and then some things, little objects like pills or sugar cubes, you couldn't tell what they were, came scooting out from under the curtain. So somebody was back there rustling the curtain and throwing little things out onto the stage. Then Timothy Leary himself, former professor of psychology at Harvard, he comes out to the podium and there's a glass of water there on the podium. And he picks it up, he makes a big self-important show of picking up the glass of water and then slowly sipping it, quaffing it. And he says, this glass contains a colorless, odorless substance And then the audience is laughing it up. You know, all these stony UCLA students, you know, high on LSD or pot or something, because, you know, LSD apparently is odorless and colorless, tasteless. So then he's making us think he's drinking some LSD. He probably was. But anyway, these people are all acting as if they're completely stoned. He says, here's another tweet from the president. And this is, you know, now they're at the same time, they're saying the Russians are trying to get Trump elected and the Russians are trying to get Sanders nominated. What's wrong with that picture? So the president tweets 3 hours ago from the air. He says, are any Democrat operatives, the DNC or crooked Hillary Clinton, blaming Russia, Russia, Russia for the Bernie Sanders win in Nevada? If so, I suggest calling Bob Mueller and the 13 angry Democrats to do a new Mueller report, Democrat edition. Bob will get to the bottom of it. Oh, this is great. And then the president says 3 hours ago, again, tweeting from Air Force One, looking forward to being with all of my friends and supporters at CPAC on Saturday, February 29th. Ah, boy, I'm not going to make it. Ah. And he's celebrating the 75th anniversary of Iwo, the Battle of Iwo Jima, showing the Marines raising the glorious American flag on Mount Suribachi. And remember, at the time, that's a flag I think I grew up with in elementary school as a boy, the one that I pledged allegiance to every morning in school. Was it a 48-star flag? What was the flag in World War II? Was it the 48 state nation? And then later Hawaii and Alaska were added? Because I remember that. I remember I was, as a little boy, I was a stamp collector. And I remember when the commemorative stamps came out saluting Hawaii and Alaska statehood. And if you remember that flag, instead of having offset stars to make it 48 stars, it was a perfect rectangle of stars, if you recall that. The flag's waving there up on Mount Suribachi. It's moving too much. I can't count the stars. But those were men. I watched a show recently on how many Marines died in the Marianas. What were those islands called? Some of those islands. Saipan was one of them. And it was some incredible number, like 20,000 Marines died taking those islands. And the president, he quotes, remember James Forrestal, the Patriot Secretary of the Navy, who supposedly committed suicide? Supposedly? I think he supposedly jumped out a window? Really? He said, and the president quotes him, the raising of that flag on Mount Suribachi means a Marine Corps for the next 500 years. Isn't that nice? Man who thinks long term. Donald Trump likes James Forrestal. He could quote anybody he wants to. He quotes Forrestal. Here's a picture of him taking off from the White House lawn on Marine One, going over to Andrews Air Force Base this morning. And he's got a rally coming up on Friday, the 28th. So that's in 5 days in North Charleston, South Carolina. We'll be there for that Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern time, which will be 6 p.m. our time here. So he'll probably be just winding up his comments when we go on the air Friday, February 28th. Let's go to callers here. We've got I lost Richard in New Hampshire is gone. Richard, if you want to call back in, I'll put you on the air. We've got Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, are you there?
Ah.
Hi, Murr.
Hi. I had to wait for the gate.
Yeah, Murr, it's a funny thing about being a radio host. And this is an interesting bit of science, folks. Scientists, European scientists, have studied the question of voice recognition. And they have found that as humans, our ability to recognize the sound of another person is so acute, it dwarfs our ability to recognize or remember people by sight.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, here's the funny thing I want to say. When I said, you're on the air, I actually recognized the engineer cut your line in, and you didn't say anything, but I heard you breathe, and I knew it was you. Yeah, I recognize your breath. Murr, I recognize the sound of your breath.
Hey, Jimmy left skid marks, huh?
No, it's amazing. What we can remember, it's something about our human brain has an extraordinary, like you hear the stories about your dog that has a sense of smell 50 times more acute than ours, and so on. Also, animals with hearing and eagles with eyesight way better than ours. But we are very strong when it comes to hearing. And now, why do we love talk radio so much?
Yeah, because radio came first. You would think whatever came after would be more popular, but radio has never gone away for that very fact.
On the first day, God created talk radio.
In the hallway, I only have one kitty cat now, but I could tell which kitty cat it was by the way they walked, the way their nails clicked on the hall.
Yeah, exactly. Murph, aren't you enjoying the results of the Nevada caucuses?
Yeah, and you know, Buttigieg is also involved with Shadow and an acronym and all that, turns out.
Oh, and this is a really wild one. Rush Limbaugh was commenting on this, and I love how Donald Trump has honored Rush Limbaugh with the Presidential Freedom Medal, clasped around his neck by Melania. What a moment in history. Poor Rush Limbaugh, who's, just learned that he has advanced cancer. I forget what kind of cancer, but very, very serious. And the president learns that same news and just immediately calls up Rush Limbaugh and says, I want you to come to the White House. I want you to come to the Capitol for my State of the Union address. And then he presents him with a Freedom Medal. And Rush Limbaugh has been talking on his radio show here, about the Nevada caucuses, talking about, who knows how to pronounce the guy's names. Buttigieg.
It's Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
Yeah,
who knows?
Buttigieg.
It's not going to matter
Michael
much, because I can tell you.
Near there.
I can tell
That's
you he's
name.
Done. He's done.
It's Buttigieg,
It's a Maltese name from Malta.
Well, they had groomed. So he may not get in there this time, but they're going to keep logging us with him.
Well, here's the thing that Rush Limbaugh was talking about. Buttigieg has been kissing his husband. He's been kissing his husband on the speaking platform at the Nevada.
God forgive him.
At his Nevada events. Like, his husband will come up. Yes, folks, and if you didn't know all this was happening, wherever you've been, Buttigieg's husband, yes, he's gay, comes up on the podium and they give a big wet kiss to each other.
And they're the most unhappy people I ever met. They're not gay.
Who's not gay? Well, he's miserable, of course. But as I say, you can't make this up. As Donald Trump said at his rally in was it in Las Vegas? He said, what's going on here is the greatest reality show that ever conceived, on steroids. You can't make this stuff up. He's not only a gay presidential candidate, and like Richard Grenell, who was just appointed to DNI, he is a homosexual. He says of himself, and he's a patriot, and he's going to make a great ambassador to Germany, and he's been a great. He'll make a great DNI for as long as he is the DNI.
This is where we're at.
But what is this? But Grinnell would not bring a husband up onto the stage for a big wet embrace and kiss on the lips.
Well, look what a turnoff it was when Gore kissed his wife.
What?
Look what a big turnoff it was when Gore kissed his wife, let alone two husbands. Ew.
Yeah. But
and
I mean,
you know what? Sodomy controls people. Did you know that? They do it at an angle so the spine enlightens the brain. Look it up. Marion Knox. That's a man's name. Marion. K-O-N-O-X.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that went right over my head. But what I'm enjoying here, I'm just a
Key of David, they call it.
I'm just
They've
a
been
simple,
doing this
I'm
for thousands of years. It's on Sumerian clay tablets.
Yeah.
That's
well,
how they control
anyway,
the slaves.
I keep it simple.
People need a wake-up call to reality. Talk about reality show. I'm giving you some.
Okay. But what I love is
did
the
Minnie,
demon rat
did
clown
Minnie
car.
Did Minnie Mike bring his box?
Hang on. You've got a demon rat clown car with a guy who's kissing his husband on the lips at the podium. You've got a member of the Communist Party, Bernie Sanders. You've got this crazy woman who thinks she's an Indian, Pocahontas, who is just a lunatic, just a wacko. You've got, what else? You got Joe Biden, who is clearly a guy who's demented, who has brain damage. There's no question, as you listen to him speak, he'll lose his
train. Just wait till
they
turn on the 5G.
And then you've got, now you bring in Mike Bloomberg. Who
Mini
is,
Mike.
He looked like, to see him standing next to, let me give you the good news. Standing
Trump
next
says,
to Elizabeth
can
Warren.
Can we all have boxes?
I'm sorry, what?
Trump says, can we all have boxes to stand on?
Yeah, boxes to stand on. I didn't see a box for Bloomberg, but but I'll bet you he had one hell of a pair of elevator shoes on. You know, you could get about 3 or 3 inches on an elevator shoe. That's where my money would be. I'd bet on that. But here's the thing. That's what Joe Biden says. He says, look, man. Hey, man. Look, hey, man. Here's the deal. Let me tell you the deal. That's what he says over and over again. This is such a clown car of losers that it's. And now let me explain myself. Let's say I left this train of thought hanging. Let's say that Bernie Sanders is cheated out of the nomination in July in Milwaukee by the demon rats. And then I said, it's not going to matter who they put in to replace Bernie, because there will be such a revolt in Milwaukee. There will be such a fight on the floor. The Bernie bros will go wild throwing chairs. maybe they'll light cars on fire. It will be wonderful. And the you get all this for free on TV. The whoever they nominate, doesn't matter. Could be Michelle Obama, could be Hillary. Anybody, doesn't matter. Those the Democrat Party will be so torn asunder by the riot in Milwaukee that there's no way that in the months of August, September, and October, in that 90-day, 100-day period before the election, that they can somehow regroup and take on Donald Trump and debate Donald Trump. They will be such a mess that the good news is this, Murr, the Nevada caucus is what nailed it for us. I view this Nevada caucus as being really, really important. It elevated a guaranteed loser to the top of the demon rat ticket. It elevated somebody who is absolutely going to divide the Democrat Party into people who are losing their minds. Because now the Democrat Party, this is something we've never seen. Everybody in the Democrat Party establishment is trying to destroy, not Donald Trump. That too. But their priority right now is to destroy Bernie Sanders. Oh.
Hey, I got two quick things. Can I give them to you when we
hang
come
on.
Back?
Yeah, Murr, when we come back. We'll be right back, folks.
Still last 10 years like they should. Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times.
times ain't over for good.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Timothy Leary is dead. No, no, he's outside looking in. Timothy Leary is dead. No, 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 he's outside.
Oh, boy. Take me back to the 60s, engineer. Oh, yes, Timothy Leary is dead. Well, anyway, I got to see him one time. This is so. Murray, are you still with us?
Yeah, your wish is Ken's command.
Come in,
huh?
Murray.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. Yeah, I recognized your breath again when the
I'm breathing.
Yes. Now, what did you want as a final thought for our audience, Murray?
Well. You were talking about Wildwoods, and I think you were talking about Pleasantville, but my main thing is, people, get ready to be more self-responsible no matter what happens with money or anything else. You can get beans and sprout them on your kitchen counter, and they're very nutritious, okay? And also, the Review Journal, Adelson owns that, and that's the only news out there in the West, and he's Trump's friend, so that got good reviews.
Well,
that's true. TheTrumpPhenomenon.chitango.com.
All right, well, Mer, thank you so much. And you're always such a cheerful person. You're wonderful.
I'm happy.
Mer.
Life is good. Right. Thank you.
Now, let me.
Bye bye.
Let me give you some more good news, folks. Here's a clip. The president tweets this. No. Did the president tweet this out? No, I don't think he did, but he's surely enjoying it. As I said, all of these demon rat, never Trumper, deep state pukes on the media, they're having a freak out. Now, of course, you all know who Chris Matthews is. You know, we've been enduring this idiot's face and voice for decades. And so now, get this. He lost it. I'm going to play. I haven't played the clip before, so I'm hearing it for the first time myself. But apparently, he was on with who's this other guy? Well, anyway, we used to all know who these guys were. Anyway, he's doing an interview on MSNBC. He's sitting there as a talking head, and he compares. He's in the middle of the Bernie Sanders results coming in. And Bernie Sanders, who ends up getting, where's my piece of paper? He ended up getting 46% of the vote. When Bernie was only at 33% of the vote, Chris Matthews said this, and it became obvious that Bernie was going to win, but he was only showing at that time 33% of the vote. Chris Matthews compared the Bernie Sanders imminent victory to to Hitler's conquest of France. Let's listen together. I'm hearing it for the first time, too. And now, and people are demanding Chris Matthews resign from television for comparing Bernie Sanders to the onslaught of Hitler's army.
I'm reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940. And the general, Renault, calls up Churchill and says, it's over. And Churchill said, how can it be? You got the greatest army in Europe. How can it be over? He said, it's over. So I had that suppressed feeling. I can't be as wild as Carville, but he is damn smart. And I think he's damn right on this one. Joy.
What? So there you go. That's Chris Matthews saying, with General Renault, the French commander, calling up Churchill, it's over. And by the way, at that time, in 1940, the French army was the largest and best-equipped army in Europe. So it was unbelievable to Churchill that Renault could call him up and saying, it's over. In other words, put a fork in it. We've been defeated by the Wehrmacht. Thank you, Hitler, for screwing up all of Western civilization let's see. He started screwing us over on September 1st of 1939 with his invasion of Poland. That's where he started getting white folks to go to war with white folks, killing tens of millions of us, including 12 million Germans. Germany never recovered from that. Still shows. The way Germany is today still shows the result of that. 12 million lost. The best, Germany's best, 12 million. Let's go to. They're calling for Chris Matthews to resign from TV. They're going into self-destruct mode. Let's go back to the president here. Let's see if he's tweeting from Air Force One. Just that tweet about Jeff Van Drew, the New Jersey congressman. And let's see what we talked about. CPAC, that's going to be the big deal next week. We've got the South Carolina primaries coming up. That's going to be incredible. And I expect, I'll give you my Kelso prediction, Joe Biden is out there saying he's going to win South Carolina. I think Bernie Sanders is going to win South Carolina. Now, I am no expert at all on that race. But I just think the way it's going, I think Bernie Sanders is going to roll over Biden in South Carolina, and he's going to get a substantial black vote. Two-thirds of Democrat registered Democrats in South Carolina are black. So if you win with blacks in South Carolina, you won with the Democrat Party. Also, Bernie Sanders got more than half of the Hispanic vote in Nevada. This, by the way, this is why Matthews is so depressed, and he says it's done. It's done. It's over. Because the anti-Bernie deep state Democrats like Chris Matthews, they were saying, okay, we lost in New Hampshire and we lost in Iowa. Bernie won in both places. But those two states are not representative of America as a whole. They're more white, very few blacks, not many Hispanics. So when we get to a state like Nevada, remember, they were all saying this before the Nevada caucuses. They're not saying it now. They said Nevada is more representative of a typical American state with its black and Hispanic populations. And the strength of the labor unions in Nevada. So Bernie's not going to do so well there. Biden will do well in Nevada, they were saying to themselves. Warren will do well. Buttigieg will do well. Whoops. Whoopsie daisy. Bernie swept through the Hispanic community. He got black support. He got union support. He romped. He got almost three times the vote of the second place finisher, Joe Biden. More than double. 2.5 times. That's called a smackdown. Now, let me give you some more of my Kelso's peanut gallery thoughts. Elizabeth Warren, she got only 14% of the vote. Why doesn't she quit? Well, that is not in her DNA. Pardon the pun. It's not in her DNA to quit. So she is going to hang in there. I don't care if she got 1% of the vote. She'd stay in there. Now, why am I happy about that? And you should be too. Because it means Elizabeth Warren will be on the next debate stage in Charleston, South Carolina. And when is that debate? I got to get back to my schedule here. But she's going to be in the next debate. And why is this good? Well, she's down to 14%. So she's in desperation mode. She's going to have to swing for the fences. She's going to have to throw a Hail Mary. It's going to be the battle of the little bighorn for Elizabeth Warren. And she has got to attack Mike Bloomberg just as viciously as she attacked him in the Las Vegas debate. And this is a beautiful thing. She really hurt Bloomberg. And we need somebody to really hurt Bloomberg again. We don't want a patty cake debate where Bloomberg skates. So that's important. She's going to be there. It's as if, you know, it's all too beautiful. It's as if, you know, all our prayers were answered. This is just a perfect storm here. Buttigieg kissing his husband on the podium. Warren savaging Bloomberg with how many non-disclosure agreements was that again? Mike, how many? And she's an attorney, so she's going at him like the prosecutor that she is. And Biden, well, you know, they're running out of money. Warren, as of the Las Vegas debate, was down to $2 million. So this is just something, it's out of the Twilight Zone. Okay, let's go to, engineer, I hope I have the engineer's permission to say this. He says, I had dinner with Tim Leary in Dallas after a presentation by him and G. Gordon Liddy. Huh. Wow. Okay. Wow. That was something. And let me go back to the president's tweets and to Breitbart. Let's see what Breitbart's carrying here at the top. Oh, the Pope is comparing us populists to Nazis too. See, this is the thing they want to do. They want to, there's no one in history less popular, more hated than Adolf Hitler. So A standard tactic of the left is to try to conflate you as a patriot, and you're very popular. Patriotism, populism is very popular. They want to conflate you in the eye of the public. They want to make the public think, no, you're a Hitler supporter. You are Adolf Hitler. You are a Nazi. So you should be hated, scorned, repudiated, marginalized, and run out of town. And there has been a, but we're not. And this is the genius of Donald Trump. He's not a Nazi. He hates Nazis. He's not an anti-Semite. He is the most popular man. I mentioned it this way. He is the most popular man in Israel. He's going to have millions of people in India lining his parade route. If he were to fly to Israel on his way home, come around, circumnavigate the world and come back to Washington via Israel on a surprise flight, it would just 12 hours notice, he'd have half the population of Israel lining his parade route or his motorcade route. I'm sure he's more popular in Israel than the Benjamin Netanyahu is, who is very popular. So see, here's the Pope, who is a left winger. He's a communist. The Pope is. He's running that same line. He says, Pope Francis says, the populace, that's you, your anti-immigration policies, that's your policies out there, disseminate fear and hatred and resemble Nazi rhetoric. Yes, Pope Francis in Rome said that policies proposed by populist politicians to curb mass migration only serve to stoke hatred and fuel fear, comparing them to Nazi rhetoric on Sunday. Let's see here. He says, Francis underscored the plight of all who are fleeing war, this is a quote, or who have left their homelands in search of a humanly dignified life, while urging European nations not to close their borders to them. Thank you, Pope Francis. That's such a brilliant recommendation. I'm sure you got that straight from God. The number of these brothers and sisters forced to abandon their loved ones and their lands and to face conditions of extreme insecurity has risen as a result of spreading conflicts and increasingly dramatic environmental and climatic conditions. So now he's signing up on global warming as well. I'm sure he got that from God too. In this context, the Pope had harsh words for populist politicians such as Italy's Matteo Salvini. We all applaud together for Matteo Salvini and Nigel Farage, who's going to be at CPAC next week. God, I'd love to be able to meet Nigel Farage, who have characterized recent mass migration into Europe as an invasion. That's exactly what it is, isn't it? It's an invasion. Not allowed to say that. As Gretchen Wilson would say, that's politically incorrect. I'm going to quote the Pope here at length here, because, you know, this is a quandary for all good and great Catholics, so many of the best patriots are Catholics. This is a tremendous dilemma. What do you do when the Pope you get is a communist? I mean, what do you do? How do you square that circle? That's a tough pickle. The Mel Gibson, who is a devout Catholic and a tremendous patriot, he has his own separatist Catholic Church, which he has funded, and his father have funded there in Malibu, California. And by the way, I wish we'd hear more from Mel Gibson. He's sort of dropped out of sight. I wish Mel Gibson would get active in the Trump revolution. I'm sure he supports Donald Trump. I don't know. Maybe he thinks in some way he might be a liability to Donald Trump. I don't know. I don't know what has happened to Mel Gibson. Boy, movies like The Patriot and Braveheart. Wow. what a contribution he made to all patriots. Here's what the Pope has to say, though. This is what Mel Gibson has to contend with, and all Catholics, all of the best Catholics. Fear is leading to a sense that we need to defend ourselves against what is depicted in demagogic terms as an invasion. I guess I'm a demagogue, huh? The rhetoric of the clash of civilizations merely serves to justify violence and to nurture hatred. So, folks, that's what you're doing out there. You're justifying violence and you're nurturing hatred. Did you know you were doing that? He said, the pontiff said, it is unthinkable, that's his word, to try to address the problem of immigration by erecting walls. That was a direct repudiation of Donald Trump. I grow fearful when I hear certain speeches by some leaders of the new forms of populism. It reminds me of speeches that disseminated fear and hatred back in the 30s of the last century, he said, in reference to the rise of fascism and National Socialism. Oh, get this. No, you think he can't top himself? This guy, Francis, he pulls this one out. He says, the Mediterranean is the sea of intermingling. Notions of racial purity have no future. Now, there's something you can put up on the bulletin board. Notions of racial purity have no future. What he's saying there is resistance is futile. Let's go to Wayne in Texas. Wayne, how are you doing?
Hello, James.
Hey, Wayne. Thank you for calling. I always, when I see your name pop up on the board, I just immediately want to get you on the air. Go ahead.
Well, thanks a lot. I guess previous guests have covered all we need to hear about Pete Buttigieg and his gayness and all that. So I guess we can move on.
Yeah, and the outrageous part, you know, the part that really grabs me, I don't want to carry this metaphor too far, is when Pete grabs his lover and his husband and gives him a big wet, you know, it's like a wedding kiss. You know, he almost bends him over on the stage there. I mean, he's just grossing us out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such nonsense. And plus some of the fluff and nonsense about debates, and that only goes so far. But I think, again, it's all about shifting our focus away from critical issues. And one that I'm watching very carefully, and I'd sure suggest other folks do, is the fact that this coronavirus in China is really shut down a lot of the manufacturing capability over there, as well as, you know, whole cities. So you're seeing that economy pretty much grinding to a halt or very, very much, very minimal movement right now. And the key thing is that, you know, unfortunately, thanks to decades of being sold out by these trade negotiators, these Chinese factories make a lot of critical items for stuff like iPhones and computers and some of our food and medicine and all that. So if they're grinding down to nothing and nothing's being produced, you know, it's just a little time bomb here waiting to happen.
And, I want to pick your brain on this. The what I heard online is that the container ships, these ships, folks, that leave China, if you've never seen one of them, they're like, you know, 4, 5, 6 blocks, 10 blocks long. They're unbelievable. These container ships that are leaving China are only 1/3 full. And so are we, Wayne, are we right now living on stored inventory? Are American stores and warehouses and so on just exhausting their inventory as the China pipeline shuts down?
I would say that is probably a pretty good scenario, what's happening. Most of the time, a ship from China is going to take about approximately 8 weeks to get in, you know, from the Far East. So there, you can imagine there are ships that, when all this stuff started, there are probably ships getting close to the U.S., midway, you know, halfway, you know, and all that. So there's been some kind of a good flow of supplies based on the just-in-time inventory that most companies do use. So what I'm thinking now is that everything looks normal and the supply chain, it looks okay. But if these other main manufacturing centers have shut down, I mean, there's just no doubt there's going to be some issues, you know, in a few weeks here. So,
well, now there's good and bad as I see that. One of the, of course, this coronavirus thing, the whole thing is a catastrophe, especially if many of us get sick and many die. That's a terrible catastrophe, and people need to answer for that. If the Chinese system shuts down, it may help us gain our independence. It may help us, you know, bring those chip manufacturing back into the U.S., bring that critical component back into the U.S., which Donald Trump loves that idea, and he dreads the idea of having critical tech over
right,
in China.
James, but that's not going to happen over the space of a couple, 2-3 months. That is definitely, it could be end up being very positive for us. But, you know, again, it's going to take essentially a year or two, 3-4 years to tool back up and start replacing that stuff.
Yeah.
So what I'm talking about is probably the near term, you know, probably 3, 6, 9 months from now. And I'm hoping these issues don't pop up before the election. But what I would, you know, what I would think is the Trump administration should be kind of up ahead of this whole discussion so that, you know, because the media is going to blame them, and so are the Democrats, and
yeah.
I feel like they should get ahead of it. And, in fact, Peter Navarro was on with Maria Bartiromo today, and he's the director of trade for the Trump administration, and he didn't say a whole lot about what is really happening, but one point he did make is that this whole scenario with the virus does show that we are very vulnerable, you know, to the situation right now based on the bad trade deals and all that. So basically, I think, you know, he may have sent a small signal there, but I think if I understand it, there should be a hell of a lot more concern to what I'm seeing right now, and maybe there is. They're just waiting for certain bits of information to pop out.
Yes. Well, the you know, I remember the last time I was in Mesa, Arizona, right near the airport there, just coincidentally, I saw this huge factory. I took one too many stops on the bus. The shuttle, actually, it was a shuttle there out of Phoenix, and the and there's this huge Intel factory, and I'm thinking, you know, it's not completely bleak here. If we had to, it's amazing, you know, what America did in World War II is an example of how quickly things can tool up. If a factory like that Intel factory, which I'm sure is the highest possible grade of, you know, they're probably making their i7, i9 chips in there. They could go on 3 shifts a day, 7 days a week. You know, I think if we, to replace a Chinese, you know, so that we break that dependence you're talking about,
yeah.
I think America has the ingenuity and the, you know, the resourcefulness that we could, in a very short period of time, turn the Chinese catastrophe into a blessing, whereby we don't want to get, if enough people are dying in China, we may want to take container ships coming from China and tell them, open up with the artillery and say, turn around or we'll sink you.
Yeah, I mean, that's anything's possible, but you have to understand that as these factories do retool, you know, you're paying a lot more for labor here than you do in China. There's a lot of other factors to get involved with the cost basis of a lot of products. And so, short term, I think we'll see some pretty good press on something like that. But, you know, again, I think it's going to cause a lot of products to be increase in price rather dramatically compared to what we've been used to.
Well, you mentioned Peter Navarro. And, of course, he's the author of several incredible books, one of them being The Death by China. What a title. And it's a real tell on Donald Trump that of all the people he could have found in this country to be his key advisor on China, he picks the guy who writes this incredible book entitled Death by China. And that book the title perfectly describes that book. Navarro is completely on to the Chinese hostility and their dedication to destroying the United States. So that's the man who is, you know, is on, you know, Donald Trump's elbow there on China. And the CPAC next week, Gordon Chang will be there, and he has described the same phenomenon. of a Chinese, you know, of course, you know, we used to call China, you sound like you're old enough, Wayne, that you remember calling China Red China. We didn't say China. We said Red China ever since the time of Mao. Because
Communist China. Call them what they are.
Yeah, Communist China. You know, Chiang Kai-shek was overthrown by Chairman Mao, and the, you know, China was a complete communist hell. And that never ended. The current government of China is a communist government. What they did was they very, very cleverly, they became, in a way, sort of neocons. They realized we can make a lot of money on this deal. Let's repudiate Mao's isolationism, and let's go with Bill Clinton. Let's join the World Trade Organization with Bill Clinton's blessings. Stay there. Stay there, Wayne, if you could. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Why don't we liberate these United States? We're the ones who need it worse.
We certainly are, ladies and gentlemen. And Wayne, I want to thank you for calling. It's always a delight when you call in.
Thanks, James. I'll let you go and have a good week.
All right. Thank you. And folks, a fitting follow-on to Wayne, the president just tweeted 51 seconds ago, That's the only thing that can get me to take Wayne off the air is Donald Trump. And I'm sure he would agree with that. Here's what the president tweeted 51 seconds ago. Crazy Bernie and the Democrats should see this. He's referring to a video that he puts in the tweet, and I'll try to play that video. And it's a video of a black man who got out of prison, was let out of prison because of Donald Trump's efforts to get people who are wrongfully incarcerated out of prison, people that have ridiculously long sentences to have more rational sentences, and people that are truly have been reformed, to let them get out of prison and not take a 20 year sentence for having a reefer. So here's what he says. I have done far more for the African-American community than any president, any. I have secured funding for historically black colleges and universities. I have secured criminal justice reform, opportunity zones, school choice, record low employment, and so much more. The best is yet to come. And then here's this video that the president tweets. Here's a black man, getting out of prison, being greeted by his friends and family.
Today is the day. My dad gets out today. We're really grateful for President Trump and the First Step Act. I understand that my daddy is very, very, very grateful to be coming home. It's been a very long journey of injustice, but we are very, very grateful for President Trump and creating the First Step Act, and we thank you so much.
And I'm proud to be an American. Well, at least I know I'm free. And I won't.
I'm very thankful to God for the First Step Act that President Trump has given us. Us as African Americans have been waiting for this for a long time, and our brother is coming home. Thank you, President Trump.
Now, folks, this is great. This is a scene outside of a prison. I don't know which one it is, one of these big, giant prisons. And there's this huge crowd of black and white people who are friends and supporters and family of this prisoner who's being freed by Donald Trump. And they're just joyous that this man is getting out of prison, and mostly black people in this crowd. Here he comes. He's walking out the gate. There he is.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea.
Now, I'll tell you what, folks. This scene is being repeated so many times. Donald Trump is going to get a big black vote in 2020. Mark my word. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll meet up again tomorrow night here in the Trump Clubhouse. We're having too much fun, and we're winning too much. Can't stand it, Mr. President. See you tomorrow night.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.